Providing housing for the seriously and persistently mentally ill is a problem that has long vexed policymakers and program administrators. In papers appearing in Psychiatric Services as part of the Assessing the Evidence series, evidence for three types of housing programs, supported housing, recovery housing, and residential treatment for substance abuse, was rated as moderate. In each case, authors reviewing the evidence indicated that the programs should receive support from policymakers, but are challenged by a lack of clear definition of service methods, treatment duration, and treatment standards. Sam Simberis, founder of Pathways Housing in New York City, who wrote an editorial accompanying the articles, says that's a problem.
As a class of programs, there's great diversity and not one coherent or uniform approach. You know, they vary in the way that they're staffed. They vary in the treatment duration. There's a lot of variation within those programs. So it's hard to say conclusively, oh, it's this kind of a program, and we all know what we're talking about.
Simberis says the evaluation of housing programs needs to do a better job of incorporating measures of success that are defined by the consumer.
In many ways, the definition of recovery has been defined by clinicians so that recovery means the absence of psychiatric symptoms or a reduction in psychiatric symptoms or abstinence or reduction of drug alcohol use or reduced utilization of acute care services like emergency rooms or involvement with criminal justice. So they're looking at measures that are observable from the system's perspective or the clinician's perspective. But recovery can also be defined, and I think actually should be defined, from the consumer's perspective. What is important for them in terms of saying, hey, things are getting better for me, the quality of my life has improved? And often those things are not the same. You know, the person's in a relationship, the person has found a group that's similar to them, they're taking a course that they enjoy, cooking meals for themselves, having their own place. And what that means, just having made a new friend or reconnecting with family, all of the social support categories, they're very important and meaningful to people's lives.
Simberis founded Pathways to Housing in the early 1990s with what was then a unique and slightly radical idea: to provide housing first, along with supportive treatment services, but without requiring residents to have treatment first.
I was working in New York, in Bellevue Psychiatric Hospital, and I was seeing then on my way home, because I lived in the East Village, the same people that were in the inpatient service not long ago on the streets with their shopping bag. It's like, hey, Aaron, what are you doing here? What happened? So trying to get someone in from the streets into housing was near impossible, because the housing providers, and sadly still true today to a large extent, are very risk averse. They're running these supportive housing, usually single site buildings. There's a whole bunch of rules about sobriety and compliance with treatment, because they have to run a kind of a building that's safe and secure and comfortable for all, which means everyone in that building needs to be able to follow a certain set of rules. And for people out on the street, they either can't or won't comply with those kinds of rules. They're just not in their capacity or in their sense of themselves. So in order to be able to get the person into a place of their own, which is what they wanted, not to live in a community setting, I ended up having to leave the hospital and start a nonprofit and look for the kind of funding that would give me rent money and service money so I could help people find an apartment, move them in, and then provide lots of support, which they were grateful for and happy to accept but only after they were housed. It's housing first, but not housing only. It's housing with a lot of support and treatment services.
So what's the bottom line?
There's a great need to be clear about the kinds of programs that we're operating. You know, what kind of program helps what kind of person when? And I think that in trying to make that determination, we should give a lot more, we should pay a lot more attention to the voice of the consumer and to making that decision rather than thinking we know the answers ourselves.
For Psychiatric News, this is Mark Moran at the American Psychiatric Association.